Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall in the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Liao, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And today I'm going to be bringing to you a special program. Donna is going to be joining me. And the reason that we need to do this program is because our position needs to be on record. And I want those of you that follow Watchman's Cry, I want you to know where we stand on this, about a crisis that is taking place in our country. To begin, America is in crisis. In addition to America, the evangelical church is in crisis. We're going to talk about it. Donna is going to help me because we need to say some things based on not our opinion, but based on what we find in the Word of God. When we measure the Word of God against the behavior of the American church and the American evangelicals who represent the church, and we notice and we observe that the behavior of the church is not matching up to what we find in Scripture, I have to say something. It must be stated. Because I'm noticing that not a lot of people in our universe are talking about this. There's not a lot of voices that are standing to be counted, to be on record, to say that what we are watching take place in America right now is not okay. And I do not believe for a second that it is endorsed by the God of heaven. Now, ladies and gentlemen, since Donald Trump became president, the world has turned upside down. The church world has been thrown into a bin of confusion, a soupy mix of witch's brew that people are drinking. And for some reason, the church has lost its testimony. The church has lost its direction. The church has lost its calling. The church and the representatives of the church have lost what we're supposed to represent, what we're supposed to do. The church has thrown all of that away and picked up a patriotic button and stuck it on their lapel. And they put on a red hat, and they have forgotten the testimony that they're supposed to be representing. I have to share these things, folks. Yes, I'm passionate right now, but I have seen too many reports of horrible behavior by the administration, horrible behavior by representatives of the government, employees of the government, who are ripping children from their mother's arms. Nathan, that's old news because an executive order was signed. Trump brought a stop to that. We're going to talk about that, folks. I'm going to share some things that Trump will not tell you. I'm going to share some things that the National Enquirer and Breitbart and all these other papers, I'm going to tell you something that they're not, because those newspapers are periodicals of propaganda. You know, Goebbels was Hitler's minister of propaganda. We are watching the rise of a dictatorship in America. We're watching the rise of an autocrat. And I warned about this 2 years ago. I had dreams about it, Donna. I saw what Trump was going to do. Trump Land is coming. All the buildings had his name on it. In one of my dreams, I saw him get on the freeway in a brand new white van, and he put the pedal to the metal, 100 miles an hour, went to the left, and brought destruction.
That's what he's been doing.
I saw the principality fly over the country. I saw it 2 years ago, Donna, over 2 years ago, and I reported on it. That principality that looked like a pterodactyl with those wings. It was orange, had a leather bat body, but it had Donald Trump's face. It was a spirit, and it glided over the country. And I said, what was that? And the Lord said, that is the spirit of deception going over the... Donna, it's here.
It has come to deceive, and it has deceived.
And by the way, Donna, at some point, he's going to turn his back on the church. Folks, everyone's going to need to pick. Everyone's going to need to choose between what the Bible says, what the Bible talks about, and the activity and behavior of this man. We have to choose to put aside the popular radio shows out there that are justifying and making excuse after excuse for this man. Now, that's my introduction, Donna. We're going to have a fiery show. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask every one of you to listen to this from start to end. Because if some of you have been hearing about this drama, news report, development about the border crossing babies, the stolen babies, the missing babies, the children, all of that, there's a lot of reports out there. Some of them are lies. And if they come from the White House, if you are hearing only from Fox News or Breitbart or The Hill or Drudge, you're not going to be getting the truth, folks. I'm going to bring you the truth on this program. And if you want to know the truth about what's going on, listen to this program. I'm going to share with you sound bites from Trump himself, from Sarah Huckabee Sanders, from Homeland Security, from Jeff Sessions. I'm going to show you from their mouth themselves that they're liars. I'm going to prove to you that the Trump administration is full of liars. And the church is listening to those lies and they believe them. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get started, I need to share something that has to do with the continuation of what we do here at Watchman's Cry. Now, if you follow this ministry, if you glean from the info that we share, and if you notice that when we do our programs, we bring you the truth, we document it, we cite it, we give you proof. Folks, when I bring you a report, it's not just hearsay, from my opinion, so that you'll believe a lie. And if it has to do with Trump, I prove it because I show you the sound bites. I'll play the sound bites. I bring you the truth. And if you see that we are standing by our calling and that we are working to bring benefits to the body of Christ, then we need those of you who see the value of this ministry. If you see the value, you appreciate the value, then we need your support. Since we have taken this stance against the hypocrisy in the body of Christ right now, and the confusion in the body of Christ, and this Trump phenomena. Since we have taken our stance, half, Donna, approximately, is it about half?
Yeah, about half.
Half of our listeners went with Trump, because half of our listeners also listen to some of the other Watchmen in the Watchmen universe. Most of them love Trump, so half of our listeners are listening to them now. I can't do anything about that.
No.
You know, Jesus in John 6, one of the most saddest episodes in the ministry of Jesus, and it's in John 6.
Six.
From that point on, the 120 disciples, they left, and only the 12 were remaining, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus turns to Peter and says, are you leaving too? Remember that?
Yes. Peter says, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life.
It even happened to Jesus. So my friends, what I'm trying to say is, if you appreciate the truth that we bring, we can only do it if you help us. We're bringing you the truth, folks. I'm healed now. My back is healed. My bones mended. My wrist healed, my arm healed, Donna, my fingers.
Your pinky's a little wonky still, but we're doing therapy for that.
But I'm healed.
But you're healed. You can play the piano and the guitar.
I'm a little rusty, but now I can play. So praise God for all the people that helped us through that, that saw us through that,
Thank
and supported
you so
much. Us, prayed for us through that. We appreciate it. I'm healed now. But now that I'm healed, Donna, I have a second win. I'm ready to go now because I believe we've entered a new chapter. We've turned the corner. Now, Donna, there's some good folks that left. They are well-meaning. Why did they leave? They're on their journey, and they're going to have to figure it out. But for the rest of the folks out there, I want to bring them the truth, and they're hungry for the truth. Donna, there's a lot of smart people that listen to this program.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, most of you are smart. That's why you listen to this program now.
Well, and biblically grounded.
And I appreciate them.
They're like Bereans, searching the scripture and holding fast that which is true.
So anyway, I'm healed. Donna, I'm just sharing with the people. I have more sermons coming. I just put out two sermons, and then I put out a third one in PDF form that was written. It was very long, 25 pages. If you have not had the chance to hear those messages, or if you want to read it, go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and there's a sermon in there to help people that are struggling spiritually. Those who have, maybe they're not where they want to be. They're not as strong as they want to be, Donna. That's what that sermon's for. Now, I understand that not everyone is there. Not everyone is struggling with their walk with God. Some are facing other things.
But we get letters every day from people who are struggling in their walk and who may be new Christians. You know, I always assume everybody's been a Christian for 30 years like me. But there are many people my age and your age who have just come to the Lord. So they need to understand the basics, and we need to hit those basics hard so that later in their walk, they will not be confused and confounded by these false voices out there.
And when it comes to repentance, there's a lot of folks out there, God bless them, who want to have blessed assurance, and they're not sure if they went through the correct route, if they are. Some people say, I hope I'm a Christian. I think I am, but I'm not sure, Nathan. This written sermon will help anyone to understand salvation. Mm-hmm. If you want to know if you're a Christian or how to do it or how to make sure you've done it correctly, go read that very in-depth sermon. It goes into the scripture. It explains it all.
And it's a good refresher course for those of us who have been walking with the Lord for a long time, because our job is to be ready in season and out of season to give a word to our brothers and sisters who need more help or who are not where we are. So this is a good tool for that also.
There's more sermons coming. I have two or three that I'm working on, as well as reports from the wall. So that's what we do, folks. And if you appreciate, getting back to what I was saying, Donna, ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate what we're doing, I don't know how to say this without sounding corny, and I don't want to sound corny, and I don't want to sound like some of those other people out there that, you know, they never have enough. It's never enough. You know, some of them programs, they say, we need 100,000 this month. We need 50,000 this month. We need $1 million for this church or for this building.
We have a simple life. We're not very extravagant people. And just so you know, though, I shop at Goodwill, and I get a discount because Nathan is over 55.
Praise God for that. We buy things used. We love the underground economy of garage sales and thrift stores, etc. I don't like retail, so we're not living high on the hog. So if you appreciate it, ladies and gentlemen, and some of you have been meaning to, you just haven't got around to it, or you've forgotten, or you're wondering who needs... Some folks out there want to give to certain ministries. They just don't know. So ladies and gentlemen, if you see this value, the value of what we do, we could use your support. So the address is Watchman's Cry. If you have your pen and paper, Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Some people have written and they said, when you give your address, say it a little slower so I can write it down. So I slowed down.
You did.
83856 is the zip code. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. There's a PayPal donate link. Also on the top of the page, it says support. So it's there or through PayPal. So ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate those of you who have helped us and are with us, who are part of this. But we want to have a family of people that are always there as the backbone, the financial backbone of some Lydias out there, right, Donna? We need some Lydias.
Yes.
The seller of purple, you know, she's a lady.
Yes, a virtuous woman.
Supported the ministry of Jesus.
She did.
Lydia. So we need a few Lydias out there, sellers of purple, or a male counterpart. Also, we could use that. So God bless all you folks, and God will bless you, ladies and gentlemen. So with that out of the way, as a watchman, I have been sharing things that are coming, and I have shared some things that are disturbing. And also, I have shared some things that some people don't want to believe. The church doesn't want to believe it. Okay, Nathan, you talk about Donald Trump, and why do you do it so much? You know, I've had people ask me that. Well, here's why. Because Donald Trump can make decisions that will cause your children to go get killed. Or he can make the decisions that will destroy your business. That can make things more expensive for you. He's the most powerful man in the world. That's why I talk about him. And when people email or on Facebook, Donna, they'll comment and they'll say, Nathan, why don't you just sit back and quit talking? Just see what he's going to do.
People accuse me all the time. They say, you guys always talk bad about Trump, but you never said anything about Obama or George Bush. And I'm just sitting there with a thought bubble with like 1,000 question marks over my head going, are you serious? I mean, that is our job. That is what we have been doing since 2008. So we have talked about Obama. We have discussed all the things that Obama did when he made policies that were insane and could hurt you. We discussed them. Same thing with George Bush. We have never shied from our duty, and we have not changed one iota. We're not the ones who have changed.
Folks, if you don't believe what Donna just said, go to Google or Bling or whoever you like to use. Type in Watchman's Cry, Obama. Do it.
And the reports will come up.
My articles about Obama will come up. So we haven't changed, folks. So as a watchman, I'm going to bring you what's out there. I'm not going to bring spin. We're not going to have an event take place in front of people's eyes and then tell them that what they just saw didn't happen. And we're not going to make excuses for anyone. I want it to be on record where we stand. Where do we stand, Donna? Where do we stand with these children at the border? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I need to really, really emphasize. If you are an American and you love the Lord, that makes you an American Christian. Your politics must align with Scripture, ladies and gentlemen.
Because we are first Christians and then we are Americans. Not the other way around.
So if we are watching an event take place like the immigration, illegal immigration, the people coming across the border illegally, let's make sure we establish that. Yes, they are doing it. Yes, they're doing it illegally. Let's just put that on the table. Donna, they didn't go through the channels of applying for citizenship or a green card. They came over illegally. So that's on the table. But then how do we treat them in the aftermath? How do we incarcerate them? How should our government be dealing with this crisis that's going on? And my friend, the method, the judgment that we as Christians must use when we are evaluating what's going on with illegal immigration, it must be done with Scripture as our foundation. So we cannot form opinions that are just based on our favorite politician. If your favorite politician, in this case, Donald Trump, who's running the country, if Trump is operating in a way that is outside the boundaries of the Bible, then we as Christians must be able to say it. And right now, a lot of Christians are not saying what their opinion is, or they're going along with the tweets that are coming from the White House or from someone in his administration, one of his spokespeople, Sarah Huckabee Sanders or Homeland Security Kirsten or Jeff Sessions or
Stephen Miller.
He's also on the team, or from one of his supporter, his propaganda voices, Sean Hannity,
Breitbart, The Hill. Yes.
It can't just come from them, folks. We have to get to the truth. So what is the truth about that situation? We're going to talk about it, and I'm going to show you some stuff, folks. And as I show you these things, then as you form an opinion on it, please let it be based on Scripture. You can be mad at me all you want. You can dislike me because I say things critical of Trump. By the way, I don't hate Trump. I'm just critical of hypocrisy. I don't hate Trump. I just don't like lies. I don't hate Trump. I just don't appreciate bullies. I don't hate Trump. I just don't appreciate someone that lies constantly. I don't hate Trump. I don't appreciate arrogance, Donna. I don't appreciate someone full of themselves and full of pride. I don't. Who does? No one does.
No one in their right mind does.
Teach your children well. I mean, even the world sings songs about it.
We have entire school programs in our government indoctrination centers that are anti-bullying. The world gets it. Bullying is bad. Bullying leads to bad things.
But when Trump does it, people say that's the kind of forcefulness that we need in leadership.
Chapter and verse on that, because God loves a meek and humble
Blessed
person.
Blessed are the, what in the Beatitudes, Jesus' beautiful sermon on the Mount, the very first Beatitude.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not blessed are the proud, who will dominate and control the earth. Blessed are the meek.
So, in order to establish where we're coming from, ladies and gentlemen, let's start with the Bible. Now, in Matthew 25, Jesus shared a parable about the sheep and the goats. Now, Keith Green did an amazing thing with this parable.
It's a beautiful song.
It's a beautiful song because Keith Green lays it out. Now, Keith Green was a prophet. When Keith Green said things, he said it because they were true, and they weren't always pleasant. He would say that the church is asleep, asleep in the light. Keith Green understood ministry, evangelism, righteousness, and he also understood all the games that the church was playing in his time. Mm-hmm. And he wrote songs about it.
He did.
And his songs are timeless. They apply to us even to this day. Should I play that song?
Yes, I think you should play it. And think about it. Think about the words as you listen to this song. Think about what he's saying and think about the conclusion.
So here we go, folks. Enjoy this, and then we're going to talk about it. And then I'm going to bring you some very hard-hitting commentary on what's going on in this country. This is our late brother, Keith Green.
And when the Son of Man comes, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on his glorious throne, and he shall divide the nations before him, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall put the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And he shall say to the sheep, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was sick, and I was in prison, and you came to me. Thank you. Enter into your rest. I shall answer him. Yes, they shall answer him. And they'll say, Lord, when were you hungry, Lord, and we gave you something to eat? Lord, when were you thirsty? Can't remember. And we gave you drink. When were you naked, Lord, and we clothed you? Or Lord, when were you a stranger and we invited you in? I mean, we invited lots of people in. But Lord, I'd never forget that face. Lord, when were you sick and we visited you? Or in prison and we came to you? Lord, tell us. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Oh, yes. Inasmuch as you've done it to the very least of my brethren, oh, you've done it. You've done it unto me. Enter into your rest. Then he shall turn to those on his left, the goats. Depart from me, you cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was naked, out in the cold, in exposure, and you sent me away. I was a stranger, and I knocked at your door. But you didn't open. You told me to go away. I was sick, wracked in pain upon my bed, and I begged and prayed and pleaded that you'd come, but you didn't. I was in prison, and I rotted there. I prayed that you'd come. I heard your programs on the radio and read your magazines, but you never came. Depart from me. Lord, there must be some mistake. When? Lord, when? I mean, when were you hungry, Lord? And we didn't give you something to eat. I mean, Lord, when were you thirsty and we didn't give you a drink? I mean, that's not fair. Well, would you like something now? One of the angels want to go out and get the Lord a hamburger and a Coke? Yeah. Oh, you're not hungry. I lost my appetite too. Lord, when were you naked? I mean, that's not fair either, Lord. We didn't even know what size you wear. Lord, when were you a stranger, Lord? You weren't one of those creepy people that used to come to the door, were you? Oh, Lord, that wasn't our ministry, Lord. We just didn't feel led, you know? But Lord, when were you sick? What did you have anyway? Well, at least it wasn't fatal. Oh, it was? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I would have sent you a card. Just one last thing we want to know. When were you in prison, Lord? Well, what were you in for anyway? I had a friend in Leavenworth. Enough! inasmuch as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Inasmuch as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Depart from me. And these shall go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous into eternal life. And my friends, the only difference between the sheep and the goats, according to this scripture, is what they did and didn't do.
He hit that one home.
That is one of Keith Green's most incredible, stupendous. Of course, most of his work was without equal. He was so blessed and talented. But, you know, when we look at this parable, it's found in Matthew 25. It starts in verse 31. And Donna, when we look at verse 35, does this tragedy that's taking place, this crisis that's taking place at the border, and by the way, folks, please hold your comment about whether illegal. So that pretty much wraps it up. This parable doesn't say whether they were guilty or not. It just says they were in prison and no one visited them. Mm-hmm. But yes. Look at, Donna, will you read verse 35?
I will.
Matthew 25, 35. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you have your Bible, highlight this. And then let's ask ourselves the question if this applies to what's going on at the border. Go ahead, Donna.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in.
Okay, so that was the sheep, and the Lord is telling the sheep when I was, and Keith Green just sang it, Lord, when did I take you in? And as much as you've done it unto the least of these.
Yes.
The least, Donna.
The poorest. The most unwanted.
I don't think we can describe the least of our brethren any better than these people who are coming with
a backpack and a child.
They don't have their furniture. They don't have buckets of food. They don't have gold and silver.
They don't have their Social Security check from their government to bring to live in America on.
Do they qualify as the least of brethren?
Amen.
And you took me in.
They are the least.
Now, in verse 43.
In 43, it says, I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me.
So, I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Now, Jeff Sessions used the Bible on TV and he used Romans 13, and he said, therefore, the government is the law of God, and if it's the law, therefore, we must comply, you must comply, the world must comply, everyone must comply, because if I make a law, that's what he meant, and
I'm the government,
then it's the Bible for you to obey.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a difference between moral law and secular law. Just because there's a law
does not make it
moral and does not mean it's okay and does not mean that the church has to then adhere to the law, because what about abortion? What about
gay marriage? Law does not mean just. World history is full of cases where governments have made laws that were unjust, that killed people, that killed children, that separated families. What about Corrie ten Boom? She lived in a nation where it was the law that the Jews had to be sent to the camps, first to the ghettos and then to the camps. She hid Jews in her home. It was against the law. If your government puts an unjust law on you and demands that you must raise all your children gender neutral, it is your job to reject that law and stand on the word of God and raise your children righteously.
Well, let's also take it a little further, Donna. So according to Jeff Sessions, he was saying if a government has a law, and the Bible says in Romans 13, you must follow the laws of the government, then that would mean any government that has a law must be respected, meaning any government has sovereignty, meaning that any government in the entire planet, including Syria, let's throw Syria in the mix. Okay, Mr. President Assad, Trump doesn't like him. The neocons, war hawks, don't like Assad. So according to what Jeff Sessions is saying, though, Assad is the law of Syria, then the United States needs to back off.
But yet we wanted to go fight for the rebels and help break Syrian law.
So that argument from Jeff Sessions is a moot point. And I remember during Obama's reign, Donna, the Romans 13 argument from people now who are Trump
supporters who are saying, yeah, Romans 13.
But back then they were saying Romans 13 doesn't mean that we have to obey Obama. And people wrote articles on how Romans 13 was conditional, which is true. It's conditional.
We cannot pick and choose like that. We have to base our standards of what we comply with in law on the Bible.
Let's show the facts, Donna. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you have been wanting to have some clarity on this because you want to have the right position. Our listeners are smart, Donna. They want to make the right choice, and they haven't drank the Kool-Aid that's going on in the White House.
Amen.
So our smart listeners will appreciate what we're going to show. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you do fall under that and you want to be wise and you don't want to be a goat, then let's put this in the perspective of Scripture and with the truth. Now, what's going on right now? In summary, we have illegal immigration taking place. A lot of those people want to come here, and some of them come here illegally. Trump ran on the ticket that he's going to solve the illegal immigration problem, but it has to be done correctly. Well, it has to be done righteously and with justice.
But it's not just illegal immigrants. There are people seeking asylum coming from Central America, which is a mess and a horrid place to live, and they're in fear of the cartels.
Thank you for bringing that up. So now we have two situations. We have people that are migrating here. Some of them are just coming because they are illegal. They're in Chihuahua, Mexico, just right across the border. Yeah. They want a job, so they cross illegally. That's that guy. Mm-hmm. But then there's the political asylum refugees, like you said. That's like a war-torn country or a country that's been turned upside down with crime and corruption and death and murder and mayhem. Yes. Cartels have taken over. Gangs have taken over. These are people who are facing odds, and a lot of them often are losing family members. We were talking earlier, Donna, you said one lady lost her two sons.
Yeah, I read an article about this woman in El Salvador who, within a month's time, her two young adult sons, 17, 18 years old, were both killed by the local cartel. They had applied for amnesty a year before.
Okay, Donna, let me stop you for a second. Please say that again. What happened to her two sons in the last month?
In 1 month's time, two of her sons, she has three sons, two of them were killed by the cartel.
She lost two sons to the drug lords.
Yes.
Murdered?
Factions. Yes, murdered. And she feared for her life. They had all applied for asylum the year before. And she was just praying that their papers would come through so her one living son and her could make it to America.
Okay, so they went to the right channels. They applied.
Did. Yes.
And while they were waiting to come here for safety so they could stay alive, two of her kids died.
Two of her three children died.
So the method of waiting in the crime-infested area didn't work for her.
No, it didn't.
So now she's panicked. She doesn't want to lose her final one, right?
No.
She'd probably kill herself if it happened. Why live, right?
Yeah.
So she goes for it.
She gets a backpack, stuffs some clothes, some food in it, and her son will head out to America.
How old was her son? Did the report say?
It didn't say.
Okay, so she comes for political asylum reasons.
Yes.
So she crossed the border illegally to try to stay alive and do something different rather than die.
They will not allow these political asylum seekers to step on American soil via American embassies will not allow them on American soil. And when they get to the border, the places where they're allowed to cross legally, they block them before they get one foot on American soil and say, no, go back. So yes, they are finding other ways to get a foot on American soil so they can turn themselves in so they can seek political asylum. That is what's happening.
They want to turn themselves in.
They wait. They look for the Border Patrol. They want to turn themselves into the Border Patrol because they have stepped a foot on American soil. So since they have now stepped a foot on American soil, you can't just boot them out without a case. They have to go through the system.
Before Trump was elected, that situation was also going on. So
yes.
Back then, when they crossed during Obama or during Bush, and if they crossed and turned themselves in, would their baby be taken away from them?
No.
But Trump has been saying on the news that he can't do anything about this law. This is a law that Obama put into place or that Bush put into place, and his hands are tied. It's the law, and it's the Democrats' fault.
It's never been a law, ever. We had a policy written under Obama and then one written under George Bush and Clinton. The policy said that when unaccompanied minors came to America, they were to find a relative to put them with while they went through the system, or they had to stay in a holding for no more than 72 hours before we placed them in a foster home. Those were generally kids from 12 to 17.
What about babies?
They had to stay with their mother or their father.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Trump had a rally a few days ago, and all his supporters showed up in that area, and they cheered his lies, because in his rally, and I know that I throw in my commentary, he lied, but that's what he did. And I'm about to prove it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to prove to you that Donald J. Trump, a present representative of the United States of America, is a joke. He's a pompous liar. He should be given the Pinocchio Award every day. He's a liar. I cannot mince words. The guy is the biggest liar that I've ever seen in my life, Donna. And he's full of himself and he's bloated. Okay, I'll stop. I'll shut up. Let me just play for you what the administration has been brainwashing his supporters to believe. Here we go.
So the Democrats want open borders. Let everybody come in.
That's not true.
Let everybody pour in. We don't care. Let them come in from the Middle East. Let them come in from all over.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Okay, Don, is that true what he's saying? The Democrats want them all to just come in?
No. Democrats want laws to keep our borders safe, but they also, they do want to let in more than conservatives do. That is true, but not everyone.
Well, the way Trump is presenting this, like, they just want all the losers and the rapists and the murderers and the Charles Manson, you know, all the, bring them all in. Like the Democrats are frothing. Oh yeah, more murderers, more monsters and zombies to kill my babies. That's not true.
No, that's not true. And it's absurd.
Okay, here we go.
We don't care. We're not going to let it happen. And by the way, today I signed an executive order. We're going to keep families together, but the border is going to be just as tough as it's been.
Okay, pause for a moment. Did you hear what he just said, Donna? What did he say he just did?
He said, today I signed an order. We're going to keep families together.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to this again. This is a few days ago. Please hear his lying words. Here we go.
And by the way, today I signed an executive order. We're going to keep families together.
Okay, again?
An executive order. He signed it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, write it down. You're taking notes. Make note that Trump said he signed an executive order. Now I'm going to play for you what Trump said a few days ago when they were saying, why won't you put a stop to this? Trump made every excuse, and then he actually says that I can't do an executive order to stop this. And Sarah Huckabee blamed it on the Democrats and said it's not our policy. And then, what's her name, Kirsten from Homeland Security lied. So just watch this, folks. Listen to the lies.
Wait, you can't do it through an executive order.
Hold on, stop. What, did you hear that, Donna?
I heard that. You have to play that again, I think.
Here we go again.
Wait, you can't do it through an executive order.
Wait, you can't do it through executive order. Quote of President Trump.
But a few minutes ago, we heard him say he just did it.
He just signed an executive order.
So whose control was it under the whole time then?
It was always under his control.
But now, listen to the liars from his administration. I don't know how they sleep at night, Donna, because they get a paycheck. Is that what motivates them?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Watch his representative. Here's the Homeland Security, Kirsten. Here we go.
Until these loopholes are closed by Congress, it is not possible as a matter of law to detain and remove whole family units who arrive illegally in the United States. Congress and the courts created this problem, and Congress alone can fix it. Congress is the one that needs to fix this. It's a law passed by the United States Congress.
There's only one body here that gets to create legislation, and it's Congress. Our job is to enforce it, and we would like to see Congress fix it. Once again, it's Congress's job to change the law.
I hate the children being taken away. The Democrats have to change their law. That's their law. The Democrats forced that law upon our nation. I hate it.
That
gave us the laws.
And that's a Democrat bill. That's Democrats wanting to do that, and they could solve it very easily by getting together, but they think it's a good election point. But that's the law, and that's what the Democrats gave us.
And I say it's very strongly the Democrats' fault.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard him blame the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Donna.
Call it a law over and over again. They kept calling it a law.
And then we heard Homeland Security say that it's a law.
And Congress has to fix this. It's their problem, their fault.
But he said that you can't stop it with an executive order, right?
That's what he said. No executive order will work.
So let's play this again, the first part.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, today I signed an executive order. We're going to keep families together, but the border is going to be just as tough as it's been.
I'm looking at this YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the YouTube right here. And by him saying I signed an executive order shows that he's a liar. Before this, he's been lying and saying he couldn't do it. So now he just said he did it and all the people clapped. Do they not remember him saying that he couldn't do it?
His hands were tied. I mean, he completely had no power at all.
So how many in the back of the room raised their hand and said, excuse me, Mr. President, you've been telling us it's the law and you can't do an executive order. But now you just said you signed. What's the truth?
Which one is right?
They don't ask that question now. They clap instead.
Yes.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the pattern that we are watching America go down the drain of sewage because America's morals have been reduced to sewage. America's evangelical church has reduced their morals and their desire for the truth to the sewage of Donald Trump's words. Because Donald Trump is an effective liar.
He lies. Bald-faced lies. And people are like, huh, guess it's true, whatever he says.
This guy is a liar. Mm-hmm. And I'll say it, folks. No, he's not anointed of God to be some righteous Samson or John the Baptist or Elijah or any person you want to pick from the Bible to insult.
And to soil it, to urinate on it, to just trample on God's word, on his holiness and his righteousness. To say, this is God's man. He has no shame about what he does. He wants people to hate each other. He actually told his supporters at a rally, you know, I'd beat that guy up. I'd shoot somebody on the middle of a Fifth Avenue. This is not peace. This man is not seeking peace with anyone. He is seeking his own way. He wants what he wants, and he doesn't care that he is destroying this country by stirring up strife.
He destroyed the church, Don. The American church lost its testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, the American church has lost its testimony with the world. I have seen the liberals talk about it. I have read their reports. They said that the American church is a joke. And folks, when Donald Trump is gone, if he's not the Antichrist, because I have him on the table, by the way, Don. That's a whole other program. The Christian church is going to get so much persecution from haters now. Because they're going to have the justifiable right to hate the church because the church has not represented the Bible.
Or Jesus. This does not represent Jesus Christ. This thing where we're stealing children from their mothers, even breastfeeding mothers, we're taking their children away. Children who can't even speak for themselves. That is not Christ. Even the world has an understanding of who Christ is supposed to be and who Christ, his love, his compassion, his mercy. But we have trampled on Jesus's love, compassion, and mercy as far as the world is concerned.
Donna, we heard from Homeland Security and Sarah Huckabee saying that it's Congress. Trump said, it's their law.
Mm-hmm. They did this.
Okay, let me play for you, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Sessions is the acting attorney general at the moment. He was appointed by Trump. He is the attorney general who made the law to take children away from their parents. Now, Trump just told you it wasn't. They said it's Congress. So let me play something for you to show you that they're a bunch of liars. Here we go. This is Jeff Sessions talking.
So if you cross the border unlawfully, even a first offense, then we're going to prosecute you. Those cases are up about double last year, and we're going to go higher this year. It's an offense to enter the country unlawfully. If you smuggle an illegal alien across the border, then we'll prosecute you for smuggling. If you're smuggling a child, then we're going to prosecute you. And that child will be separated from you, probably, as required by law.
Okay, now so far he said it's the law. It's required by law. To prosecute illegal aliens, of course it is. That's what ICE does. Mm-hmm. That's what immigration does. That's what the Border Patrol does. Now, when they find illegals that cross over and detain them, the method of detention and the method of prosecution, the method of how the case for them happens, now that's a different story. Of course, the law says they must be prosecuted. Are they a refugee? Are they asylum seekers? We do have laws in the books for refugees, by the way. So they have to find out the background story of these people who have migrated illegally. Now, if they have a child with them, here's where it gets muddy. If there's a child with them, whose idea was it to rip the child from their parents' arms? Now, we heard a moment ago Sarah Huckabee say it's a law and it's Congress that's doing it. We heard Homeland Security say it's the law and it must be done. Their hands are tied. We heard Trump say an executive order won't stop it. So they're blaming it on everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, please make note. They blamed it on everyone else except the president administration. Now, Jeff Sessions is giving a speech right now. Let's listen in on what he says right here. Here we go.
In order to carry out these important new enforcement priorities, I have sent 35 prosecutors and 18 judges to the border.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop the tape. Let's back that up a little.
In order to carry out these...
New? Is he saying new?
In case there's any confusion, One more time, Donna.
In order to carry out these important new enforcement priorities, I have sent 35 prosecutors and 18 judges to the border.
He just sent prosecutors and judges to the border.
Because there are new
policies
that have to be enforced now.
So this is new. This is them.
Yes. That's what Jeff Sessions just said.
Our U.S. attorneys are committed to this, and they're going to reassign people within their offices. The judges represent a 50% increase in the number of immigration judges at the border. So we're sending a message to the world, really.
He said we're sending a message. Ladies and gentlemen, I played for you the lies. Donald Trump lied. Sarah Huckabee lied. Homeland Security Representative, what's her name, Kirsten, lied.
Kirsten, yeah.
And then Trump went to the rally and said, I just signed an executive order to stop this. Ladies and gentlemen, just think about this for a moment. It was Trump's policy that did this, that started it. It is him that decided to take it to the next level, to send judges down there, to send prosecutors down there, to rip babies from mothers' arms, and then lose the babies. Because now we have thousands of children who are lost.
Missing.
We have them.
Where they are.
They were taken at the border, the Texas border, and now they have been spread out. They have sent them all the way to Seattle, Washington, to Oregon, to California, to the East Coast, New York.
With no way for the mother or the father or the uncle to track the child. One judge got so angry, he was hearing one of these cases, and he got so angry, he said, if you are going to prison and you have to turn in your wallet, they give you a ticket with a number on it for your wallet. But you're telling me these children are taken away and they don't even get a piece of paper that says where they're going or their case number or file number?
By the way, there's a blackout. There is a news blackout by the Trump administration on this. They're not letting us know where these children are.
And you can't tour the facilities. You need a 2 weeks notice and you cannot take pictures or audio. They don't want you to see what's actually going on in there. Why? If it's such a great camp, a summer camp, why can't we see it?
We have detention camps for babies. For babies who have been in this planet just a few months and then they're ripped from their mother's arm. The most precious, most important, most developmental period of time for a child, for a human being, is to be with their mother when they're a baby. And these babies are being taken from their moms. The mothers are distraught. There's mothers that are now being set free or sent back to Mexico.
And they can't find their children.
And they've asked Homeland Security and they've asked Immigration, where's my child? And they say, we don't know. Where are the girls?
Where are the girls?
Ladies and gentlemen, where are the little girls that came across the border? Where are they?
Nobody knows where that facility is. We don't know where it is. Does it exist?
Sheep and goats. I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. Or in this one, I was a stranger and you threw me in prison. And the Christians.
How about I was a child and I wanted my mother and you took her from me.
We can add that to the sheep and goats, ladies and gentlemen. I was a crying child.
The only crime these mothers and fathers have committed is seeking a better life. There is no moral basis for ripping children from their mothers when they're seeking amnesty in a country that has a poem on the Statue of Liberty that says, come, we love you, we want you.
Bring me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning.
To be free.
And every person listening to this program who lives in America had forefathers, most likely, unless they're Native American, who came here at one time. America is the melting pot of the huddled masses. That's who we are. But Trump said the people from Mexico, from the South, I'm paraphrasing, the brownies, the brown people, are infesting, that's his word, infesting America.
Because they are not humans to him.
Now, as a result, we have fruit and vegetables dying on the vine.
Because there's no one to pick.
Citrus, avocado, grapes. You'll notice it.
The prices
at the
are going to go up on your groceries.
It's a serious labor shortage. 9 in 10 farm workers in California are foreign born, many from Mexico. According to the Pew Research Center, more Mexican immigrants have been leaving the U.S. than are arriving.
The labor shortage is so severe that entire fields of vegetables like these have gone unharvested. In fact, here in Central California, in two counties, more than $13 million has been lost.
Jolene Kent, NBC News, Oceano, California.
Those people infesting America are not going to be here to pick the fruit. Why? Because Trump supporters will say they're taking all of our jobs. Well, how many of those Trump supporters will go pick fruit?
Oh, they'd rather be on unemployment than go pick fruit. It's hard work.
How many of them are out there picking vegetables? And
They don't pick vegetables.
How many are working on the fields?
They're not.
How many are...
They're not working in the fields. That's the Mexican people, the Central American people would come up here during picking season. They would stay for a short amount of time, and a lot of them went home. Some of them stayed, and they would pick our fruits and vegetables for us. I mean, what a service. What an amazing gift to have somebody who will come in and pick your fruits and vegetables for you. Because we're so rich, we don't have to do it ourselves.
Donna, what would happen if we heard that another country, let's say in the Middle East, was mistreating children? What would be the outcry from America if we heard that children were getting hurt or neglected or mistreated? And do we have something to go by on that one? Yes, we do. Donna, let's bring it home. We went to war in 03.
Yes.
Actually, we did it in 99 too. Daddy Bush and then Son Bush. We had two wars when...
99 is one.
We went to war because one of the politicians in Kuwait used his daughter as a fake nurse to go to the UN Security Council and lie and say that they were taking the babies out of the incubators and setting them on the ground and walking away. Remember that?
Yes.
Those evil Iraqi soldiers.
Yes. Letting the babies die.
Over that testimony, we went to war.
We did.
And
yes.
We killed 500,000 Iraqi soldiers. Another million died. Since then, hundreds of thousands of Americans have died from the DU poisoning in Iraq. That's a whole side
done
issue.
Done by our own government.
Deformed children. So we went to war based on a testimony that children were being mistreated. Mm-hmm. Little babies were being set on the cold tiles when it didn't happen.
Never happened at all.
If we heard that Russia was doing that for the refugees, we'd go to war. If we heard that any nation, when refugees come over the border... When a refugee crosses, think about that, Donna.
Yeah.
North Korean mothers are taking their babies into South Korea, those horrible illegals, breaking the law of South Korea.
So South Korea is taking the children and putting them in institutions.
Would that fly?
No. No.
If India was doing it, if Pakistan was doing it, would it fly? No.
No.
If China was doing it, Taiwan, Vietnam, we can do this all day. People would be mad and there'd be an outcry.
If Canada were doing it, we would think they were awful.
But we are doing it. When we think about the pain that these children are going through when they're being ripped from their mother's arms, and when we consider the horror that the mothers have of where's my baby? You know, a child might be taken by a mad father at a Walmart, and what goes out over the airways? What goes out over the freeway and the cell phones? And the
Amber Alert, find that baby.
For what, Donna?
For one child, one.
And everyone goes into save the baby mode, save the child mode. Where do I volunteer, right?
Yes.
But now... This is happening with brown people because they're not the same.
Well, yeah, because they weren't born here.
People might take offense at that. By the way, folks, I'm Hispanic. I'm from Spain, so I can say it, okay? I have Native American in me, so I can say it. My skin's
brown.
My
children are half.
Okay, so when Christians who support Trump hear this, and I saw the media go to the Midwest and interview people like in a little deli or a restaurant. They found some people that supported Trump and they said, what do you think about this policy? And the majority of them all said they broke the law. So no, I have no compassion for the mother. And they said, don't you feel sorry for the mother? They were asking this one lady who was elderly. This lady said, I don't feel sorry for because it's the mother's fault. They know that if they cross the border, their child's going to be taken away. So no, I have no compassion.
And I would probably guess that most of the people they talk to would consider themselves a Christian.
Ladies and gentlemen, is that the right attitude that a Christian should have? If a baby gets taken, for us to not have mercy. If anyone wants to argue, if there's a Trump supporter out there saying, Nathan, it doesn't matter what you say because they're still breaking the law. So it's their fault if the parent gets taken away. No, let me stop you for a second. The Constitution says cruel and unusual punishment. The Constitution talks about detention when we're detained. We have the right to be treated fairly.
Yes.
Cruel and unusual punishment should not be a part of whether or not citizens.
So we only have to treat citizens well. Everybody else, we can just stab, gut, whatever we want to because they're not citizens.
You know, if this was brought to the ICC, the International Criminal Court, I'm pretty sure the United States would be found guilty on this one. There's no spinning this. There's no justification for taking a child from a mother, giving her a little number that she has to memorize, and then losing your baby. You know, this isn't nursery where you drop them off at daycare and you can pick them up and they know who you are. This is, we're taking your child. We hate you. You're a brownie.
Good luck.
You shouldn't have come. You throw her in prison. You take the baby to New York or Seattle or Portland or somewhere. And then you lose it. This is not the same thing.
No.
So we cannot use the argument, well, they're doing it illegal. No, it's the same thing as when a cop arrests someone, he can't bang their head into the police car.
No cruelty. And in America, if you commit a crime and you do have to go to jail, the foster care system has to keep track of you with your child so that you can reunite and that child can visit you. That's how it works for Americans. Why is it any different for the illegals that are seeking asylum? Why do they not get to know where their children are? Why do their children not get to know where they are?
Donna, we're going to hear horror stories. And let me just say, I'll put this on record right now, folks. We're going to hear horrible stories and accounts when the people are set free and the ones that do make it to a microphone.
BBC is reporting it.
BBC is reporting it. The whole world's reporting it, Donna. Mm-hmm. You know who's not reporting it? Or you know who's spinning
it? Fox News.
Fox News and Drudge and Breitbart.
Breitbart, The Hill.
So there's no way to spin this and try to make it, well, Nathan, I have no compassion. See that obese woman that was interviewed that said, I don't have any compassion. Because if the mother did it illegal and knew that they were going to get arrested, then that's her fault. The proper response should have been, if they follow the Bible and they know what the Bible says, should have been, you know what? We have a crisis going on. We have a refugee crisis going on. We have a problem. And the policy needs to be just. It needs to be humane. It needs to be something that we all agree on. It needs to be something that won't embarrass America. It needs to be something that won't take us away and deviate from who we are at our core with family values.
Amen.
You know, the Republican Party says they have family values. What, only if you're a Republican and you
vote? White.
What's that?
Only if you're a white Republican and speak English without an accent.
So family values don't matter if you're from south of the border, apparently. So the person that said, I don't really feel sorry.
That just boggles my mind, because even if somebody gets arrested because they are addicted to crack or meth and they're in prison and they're separated from their children, I still feel sorry for them. They deserve my mercy.
Because they're a human being in pain. They're a human being who made choices that maybe weren't good, or that maybe they're a human being that got shafted in life. You know, you don't get to pick your parents. If your dad's a crackhead or meth head or a bank robber or a murderer, and all you see is unrighteousness, these people.
You're going to follow in that same path.
But these mothers who came across are doing it with a very high cost. And I'm sure, you see, that's the other thing, Donna. People think that if they think in Spanish, then for some reason, their brain doesn't compute because it's Spanish. And Spanish people are dumb. They're not educated. They can't think rationally and conclude that, hey, if you're a mother, don't you know that it's going to be a bad outcome if you sneak across? I'm pretty sure, Donna, they count the cost. I'm pretty
sure.
They're
just praying that they are the one that is going to get forgiven, that there's going to be granted asylum. They are coming knowing that it is a 1 in 100 chance that they're going to be that person, that they're risking their entire life to do it.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just be candid right now. Oh, you haven't been already? I guess I am. I'll continue. This is how pathetic evangelicals are behaving, because they're allowing a pompous, lying, philandering, pitiful excuse for a man. Not even a president, just a human being, Donna. A pitiful excuse for a human being. They're allowing his rhetoric and his doctrine and his humanity, or lack of, to dictate their politics
and their
ideology
faith.
And their faith and their opinion and their commentary and their stance on things. Because if Trump says it, no matter where it is, Trump must be right. So I'm going to be on his side. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a Trump supporter, you don't have to agree with everything he says. You're allowed. You are allowed to say, excuse me, no, Mr. Donald, I voted for you, but you're embarrassing my vote. You are disappointing me. I can't support this anymore. I can no longer. We're done. I cannot support someone that does this to human beings. I can't.
Even Jeff Sessions' church is seeking to kick him out because they believe that he took the scriptures and he twisted them and he did it knowingly. His Methodist church is going to kick him out.
His liberal Methodist church, Donna.
They understand that he twisted the word of God for political purposes.
So where are the voices? Well, Nathan, it's still wrong. Okay, even if they did wrong, Donna just mentioned if a crackhead got arrested and he was guilty with, you know, the bag in his pocket, he's guilty. He was dealing crack. He's guilty. He broke the law. Does that mean we have no mercy on him? Does that mean that we have no care about him? Because we started the show with Keith Green, our brother, our late brother, telling us the parable of the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25. I was in prison and you didn't care. So whether they're guilty or not, the sheep and the goats parable has nothing to do with whether you're guilty or not. It has to do with reaching out.
Our compassion is not based on innocence or guilt. Our compassion is based on Jesus Christ, who has compassion for us.
Because he first loved us, and we were all guilty, folks. Every one of us are guilty. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. There is nothing that any of us could do or seek to do that would earn or justify the treasure that he gave us in our earthen vessels, what he did for us. Bought us with a price with his own life when we didn't deserve it, when we were enemies of God, when we didn't care about God, when all we thought about was ourself and our flesh. God had mercy on us. But now we have Christians who say, should I reevaluate that term, Donna? Am I using that loosely?
I call them evangelicals because I don't consider all of them Christians. I would say that politically, the evangelicals follow after politicians, not Jesus Christ. Christians follow after Jesus.
Donna, do you have the Beatitudes in front of you? I'm going to have Donna read us two verses. And in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. It's a beautiful, most of you folks know it. It's beautiful. The blessed are they that do this and this. Donna, there's one blessing that's in there that Jesus said. Before you read it, let's now, for a moment, I want to once again put on the table, bring up that evangelical who was being interviewed by the news media. Mm-hmm. Who was asked, do you feel sorry for the mother who's lost their kid? And they said, no, I don't feel sorry for them because they broke the law. Now, what did Jesus say right here?
Jesus said in verse 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Okay. Did he give conditions?
No, no conditions at all.
When Jesus was hanging on the cross in the worst pain that a human being in the whole universe, no one has ever felt his pain like he did. Because in addition to the physical pain, he had spiritual pain. Of all the sin being poured on him. I mean, Donna, one sin.
Hurts.
Know, one sin hurts. And you know, when we blow it and we sin, that separation we feel from God, Jesus had every sin in the history of man. Jesus endured that. And while he was up on the cross, he whispered, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And he said that about his executioners. He was looking at the guards, the Roman guards, the soldiers when he said it. He was looking at the crowd that was booing him and leering at him. He was talking about every person there that was mocking and he was naked, bleeding, in pain, separated, alone, abandoned, forsaken for a moment, for a short period of time. And he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. So when people say that these people know what they're doing, so therefore I have no mercy, that is not what flowed through the veins of Jesus when he hung on the cross, ladies and gentlemen. And that is not what flowed through the veins of Jesus when he gave us the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, blessed are the merciful. There is no conditions we can put on how we value a life on earth, especially not a baby, a child, a toddler, at the most helpless time in their life. Now, folks, please think about this. When you had a baby, you had your children, your grandkids, at the most helpless time of that baby's life, how would you feel if that baby was ripped from your arms, or your daughter, or anyone that you knew? How would you feel? Would you say, well, I have no mercy. I don't feel sorry for him. Who could say that, Donna? Who could say that and then look into the eyes of Jesus and say, well,
bless me.
Well, I'm a Christian. I'm an event. This is the right position.
God bless America. Bless me. Bless, bless, bless. No compassion, no mercy.
I heard Jimmy Swagger's wife justified it.
Yeah, I unfollowed her.
She justified it.
She did.
And there are some other very popular people who are now on TV. They started on the radio, now they're on TV, Donna. Mm-hmm. Another female said it, a wife.
Another wife said it. I'm shocked when women,
of preachers.
Women who are mothers can say coldly that too bad for them. They shouldn't have crossed our border.
What does Jesus think, Donna, when a ministry gives their program and then they say, send us your donations for our orphanage? Because we support with people who have an orphanage, because these babies don't have mommies. They don't have parents. Their parents are gone. But we're taking care of those babies. And then on a different breath, say it's okay to rip babies from their mom.
To make children into orphans. To justify and show no mercy to children who are forced into being orphans when they have perfectly living mothers and fathers who love them.
Donna, what kind of religion is that? To say in one breath, support us for our orphanage, but then be in support of a president who rips babies and turns them into orphans? What kind of religion is that?
It's false. You can't have it both ways.
How many of these evangelical pastors support orphanages and they tell the people to do that, or they support missions, you know, send money down to South America mm-hmm. for those, we're going to give them shoes.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go down there for Christmas and spend $10,000 and take a bunch of people, and then we're going to hand out little Christmas presents worth a dollar and feel good in our conscience.
Oh, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a side issue. That's one of your soapboxes, Donna. Going on mission trips to make yourself feel good, and you spend $5,000 and you raise money and you ask for offerings and you give them shoes and then come back. That's a side issue. Mm-hmm. But what kind of religion is that?
And the Bible tells us what a pure religion is. It says in James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To visit orphans and widows in trouble, not to create them.
Not to create the trouble?
Not to create orphans.
To not show mercy, Donna. When I saw this person, and then I'm on Facebook. I opened up Facebook, and I am amazed.
I have culled my friends list, I'll tell you that. I can't take it.
Part of what motivated me to do this was the pathetic testimony of a lot of quote-unquote Facebook Christians or evangelicals who are putting up memes to justify this and then to argue and somehow make the people who are against it to be the bad guys. You're just a liberal. You're a pinko Nazi. You love Hillary. You love the Democrat. You must be a Democrat if you're for, you know, to spin it in insult.
Jesus is not a Republican. Jesus is not a Democrat. Jesus loves his children, and he loves children. And I could not look at these people's pages justifying this cruelty without crying. It was breaking my heart. So I just cleaned out my friends list.
Suffer not these little children to come unto me. That means don't hurt them. That means don't bring them pain. Don't be a person that torments my children. Because if you do, Jesus was very clear, Donna, it would be better. It would be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and you thrown into the sea than to hurt one of my little ones. And we have American policy by the liars, Donald Trump, the liars who are hurting these children. And then we have Christians who are justifying it. And then we have other Christians who say they have no mercy. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am presenting the truth. I'm presenting the Bible. I'm presenting the Word of God and where God stands on these things. And then it's up to us to decide. It's up to us to compare. It's up to us to measure what we see happening with the Word of God. And we measure it and we weigh it and we put it in the scale. And that scale better not tilt toward the flesh. It better not tilt to misdirect and ignore the Word of God. It better not tilt toward the way of man and put the words of God on the ground and trample on them. Unfortunately, that's what we see happening. Now, these people who have no mercy.
There's a verse for them in James also.
There's a verse. Now, Donna, what time is it right now? God is judging, right?
God is judging, yes.
Darkness has entered the world. Darkness is covering the land. And we are just in chapter one. We just turned the corner into chapter two. Some horrible, 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 horrible things are coming, ladies and gentlemen.
And if you're not on your knees sighing and crying, if this doesn't break your heart to see what's going on in this country, how we're treating the very least of them, if that doesn't break your heart, how can the scribe mark your forehead for Jesus Christ?
The angel is going to mark those that sigh and cry. And then those are the ones that are shielded and protected and under the shelter of God's mighty wing. When the destroyer and the spoiler comes up and down the streets of your town, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're an evangelical who voted for Trump, or if your eyes are open now and you see what's going on, or wherever you are in your confession, wherever you are, the spoiler is going to come down your street. He's going to walk down your street, my friend. Rural, urban, the city, the highways, the byways, the judgment of God is coming over America, and there's going to be an angel with a battle axe and a destroying weapon who's going to have business. And that destroying angel is going to have decisions to make based on what we are doing right now. This is why it's so important. The way that we behave now.
The mercy we show others. The love. The compassion.
Now will.
Will decide our fate on that day when that destroyer is coming down the street.
Now, Donna, are you just making this up?
It's in the Bible.
Please share it with us.
In James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That is how God feels about mercy. That is how important it is.
Let's stress this, Donna. The mercy that we show toward others is the same mercy that we will get when judgment comes.
Yes.
That's
it. If we don't show mercy, we will not receive any. There will be none for you, for me.
So this woman who said, I don't feel sorry, sealed her fate.
She did.
And it got recorded in the annals of God. It got recorded in God's book of remembrance. There is a book of remembrance, ladies and gentlemen, and God is going to remember. The holy angel scribe of the writers of the Corn is constantly recording and writing so that it's on record.
It goes all the way back to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We all have sin. We all have done things wrong, but we had best err on the side of mercy whenever given a choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of issues that have come and gone. There's a lot of news developments that have come and gone. And there's a few that have placed the wax seal on the fate of people, the coming fate. But this one and the reaction, it's not just the event that's happening now, it's the reaction. I fully believe this, and I have said it before. Trump's arrival on earth was to find out what's in the hearts of men in America.
It's about the heart.
Trump's arrival is revealing the hearts of men.
It is.
If Hillary was the president, we wouldn't know this stuff.
No, because we'd all be united against her.
But now, the hearts of men are being revealed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what's so important to get a hold of. The amount of mercy that you, my friend, show in this regard, the amount of mercy that you have when you think about it, the mental thoughts that you have when you think about this, if they lack mercy, when you think of these children, because as I said, there are thousands of kids that have been taken and they're lost. I think I saw a report, 1,500 are lost, Donna.
They just don't know where they are.
1,500. We went to war over a handful of babies that never were placed out of the incubator in Kuwait. Mm-hmm. America has done this. The American policy has done this. Trump's policy, the evangelicals are supporting it. The measure of mercy that people show is the same. You just read it, Donna.
Yes.
God is going to take that and he's going to record it and say, okay, now what did they say? Angel, messenger, angel, watcher. What did that person down there in Texas
will be without mercy?
In Texas, in California. What did that pastor say? Did you record it?
And the pastor's telling their church.
What is the pastor telling them? Let's write it down and let's seal it. And God will take his signet ring and seal it so that it cannot be changed. You cannot delete it. That's it. This is so serious, ladies and gentlemen, because judgment is coming to America, and part of the judgment is going to be dependent. The intensity of the heat, of the financial crash, of the hyperinflation, the intensity will be based on what God is finding out right now. God is watching, and he's finding out who believes what. He's finding out who has a heart. He's finding out who has love. He's finding out who sees these people through the eyes of Jesus.
As human beings.
With the mercy of Jesus, or through the lens of evangelical Trump's supporter who just believes what Trump has to say and shows no mercy. They're just illegal brownies. And I know that that might be offensive, but that's how they're treated.
That is. They're vermin, according to Trump.
And see, that's what the Nazis did. That's what Hitler did. If you dehumanize them and put them less than us.
We did it to the Japanese.
When we interned them during World War II.
We did it to the Native Americans. We did it to the blacks.
We did it to the Chinese.
During slavery. Their lives had no value.
We did it to the Chinese.
You could kill Chinamen, that's how they said it, all day long and not get in trouble at all because his life was not worth anything.
So if you dehumanize them, then the conscience wants to turn that part up. Oh, don't think about it. It doesn't apply this time.
Because they're not human, but they are.
Jesus died for all of them. Jesus loves them. And I'm pretty sure, Donna, when the judgment fires arrive, Jesus is going to take their side.
This nation has a history of dehumanizing people in order to mistreat them. And that history does not belong in the Christian faith. Don't embrace it. Don't accept it. We don't mistreat people. We don't dehumanize them. We don't take away their value just because they're illegal or because they're a different color or they speak with an accent.
Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on for a long time expressing my heart, and Donna could go on expressing her heart, but it is so important. You know, some of you hate me. You hate Donna. Some of you can't stand us because of our position. I guess that's your choice. I guess. Or maybe you don't hate us. You just don't like that we, in your eyes, criticize your president. Folks, you know what? Your president, yes, as an American citizen, he represents America for right now. Mm-hmm. He does. So I'll give him that. And since that's the case, since he is the president and I'm an American citizen, I have the right to say something about it. I have the right to tell you what I feel.
We have the duty to say something.
Amen. So that's what we did on this program. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I said, we have entered a new chapter. This is new ground, and I believe it is, because the fruit of Donald Trump is so rotten and so disturbing, and it breathes evil. It breathes contempt. It breathes immorality. It breathes falseness, deception. It breathes everything that we are not supposed to like. Now, if someone writes and say, Nathan, you're disrespecting my president. No, I'm not.
I have proof. I have proof that it breeds all of those things. In Nevada, we have a man who is a pimp at bunny ranches. He is a dirty, filthy, disgusting, vile human being who promotes the selling of women's flesh to men. And he is on the Republican ticket. And the evangelicals in that state are supporting him. And that could not have happened before Donald Trump. This is a vile and dirty, filthy demon that has overtaken our earth, and it came through Donald Trump.
There's no way to spin it now, Don. I can't say that, okay, give him a chance. No, he's proven. We know now what he's made out of. Donald Trump is made out of darkness. And you know, folks, go to Daniel's chapter 7 and chapter 8 and just read it. Read the resume, the personality profile of the little horn. And set aside the eschatology and the traditions of men and the philosophies of men that it's someone else. Just set it aside for a moment and read how it says, this guy is pompous, he's a braggart, he's arrogant, all he cares about is himself. Donald Trump cannot stop bragging, Donna. He's constantly advertising how he won, how great he is, over and over and over. Now, my Christian friend, my evangelical friend who supports Trump, how can you endorse that when it matches the Antichrist?
He is the closest, as far as I have seen in history, since I've been alive, he matches the attributes more so than any man in power that I have experienced in my lifetime.
You know, people say it's Prince Charles. Prince Charles isn't a braggart like that. He doesn't boast like that.
He's a very quiet man, albeit strange.
Okay, it's
very
Prince William.
Strange.
It's William.
He is such a nice guy. When he talks to people on the street, he gets down on his knees and speaks to children. I'm sorry, I don't see it.
He's pompous. Go read it, folks. The Antichrist is pompous. What is the possibility? What if, okay, I don't know. He's on the table, by the way. Officially for me, he's on the table. I'm not saying that I know for sure, but he's a candidate. And whenever different candidates come in, I put him on the table. I do.
Yeah.
Trump is on the table at the moment because no one else can meet the attributes like he can. And if that's the case, how weird would that be, Donna, if I'm right? How weird would that be if he turns out to be the little horn Antichrist and it turns out that the church was his number one supporter? How weird would that be?
Yep.
The reason I say this is because when we look at the weird Twilight Zone spell that is on America right now, the way that people look the other way and justify, you know, Trump says I can kill someone. Or 2 weeks ago, it came out that Trump could shoot James Comey. Giuliani said,
as the voice of the White House right
Giuliani
now.
Giuliani said, if Trump killed James Comey, he would not be indicted by it because in his position as a president, he's above the law. And he could pardon himself.
Yeah, and then he could pardon himself, yes.
At what other time in American history have we faced that kind of absurd insanity, Donna? And for evangelicals not to be bothered about it, we look at Trump's fixation on dictators, his love for murderous dictators. And then we have
Kim Jong. And they have chemistry.
And Trump said that he's a man of many, many talents. He's smart. How many other people could inherit a country when they're 26 years old and do the work that he's done? He's done a great job. Folks, if you're an evangelical supporter of Trump, how do you justify that?
You can't. You cannot justify that. He praised a dictator who brutally kills his people and starves them. It's like this is a Twilight Zone. It doesn't even make sense that they would be okay with him doing that.
Why is Trump okay with that? Here's why. Because Trump is a dictator himself. He wants all the restrictions, all the limits that exist right now against his freedom. He wants them gone.
It's like an episode of The Hunger Games. I mean, it just feels like a bizarre world that I'm living in. And he gathers all of his worshipers for his little...
Those rallies.
His little rally, his little base, so that they can just clap and praise him because he can't survive without the applause. He has to have it. It's his drug.
We are at a crossroads, ladies and gentlemen, and the next events that are coming because of how this thing's going to play out. There's a lot of things that are brewing right now. We have the Mueller investigation, which may go somewhere, or it may not. We have the summit with North Korea that may expose itself pretty soon as a failure, as theater, because that's all it was. It was theater. It's not real. And when that thing falls apart, then war is going to result eventually. We have the Iran war coming. We have John Bolton saying that we're going to be in the streets of Tehran by 2019. That was on our previous program. We have war coming. And we also have this. And I would not put it past this, Donna. I fully believe that this could happen. I don't know if it will, and I pray it doesn't. But I think there's a chance it will. And that is this. Depending on the amount of heat that Trump is thrown, depending on the amount of incinerating accusations and maybe possibly indictments or charges that could be brought toward him, Trump has the easiest way in the whole world to offset those, to deviate from those, to distract from those, to put those under the rug, to get rid of those. And you know what that is? A false flag. A false flag event or a war. I think it's going to be a false flag first. It's going to happen. I don't know what it would be, but it's going to have to be something big enough that it will take our eyes off of what Trump is going through. It'll make his base even more supportive of him. They're going to love his reaction. They're going to love his response. Yeah, that's the way we do it. Yeah, where do I sign up? Yeah, where do I take my kid to sign up for this? It's going to result in that, Donna, a false flag. And if a false flag happens and we go into martial law, Bush signed it before Obama. He signed an executive order that gives the president control of all three branches of government over transportation, airlines, railroads, communications. He becomes a dictator.
Mm-hmm. Overnight.
Overnight, with one stroke of the pen, declaring a national emergency, declaring martial law. That's all it would take for Trump to be a dictator. And here's the deal. Trump knows it. He knows his time will come. He knows it's easy to do. He knows. Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at Daniel, it says the little horn did not operate under his own power. It was Satan's. Right. Revelation 13 tells us that the red dragon. So I fully believe this, Donna. Trump is operating under the power of a very, very powerful entity, whether it's a principality or a combination of several or Satan himself or interchangeable. Are people gasping for breath right now, Donna? Are they saying, how dare you? No, no, it's true. You look around and you see the spell that he has on folks. That can only be done by evil. Mm-hmm. So this principality that possesses Trump to make him the big liar that he is, with craftiness, he will prosper. It says that in Daniel 7. Yes. He will prosper with craftiness. He'll know dark sentences.
Well,
lying.
Christians are always talking about how everyone who's in the rock and roll industry sold their soul to the devil. And in some of the cases, I think it's true. I don't think it's true in every case. But why is that not possible for billionaires then? Why is that not possible for politicians?
Well, we know they did, Donna, because we have the Bilderberg, we have the effigies. Yeah. They go and do those rituals, and they give their life for that. We know they do. Trump lives in a building that has 666 embedded on the outside of it.
Nothing of God in his apartment. Nothing.
He serves Apollo. And, oh, I mean, we could go into that one, too. But what I'm saying about this principality, Trump
has taken him.
Let me just say it officially. This is what I believe. And if folks, if you get mad at me and you say, Nathan, I hate your guts, well, I guess you're free to do that. I guess you are. But when we look at the fruit and we look at the behavior and we look at the outer limits of Trump's circle and we look at the behavior of them and we look at the way that they think, down to the logical process of thinking that defies rationale, mm-hmm, in his supporters, right, in the clergy, in the watchmen that are supporting him, and all the things that they say that defies logic.
And
it defies the
God.
Bible.
Yeah.
It defies all of that. When we see that and then they do it with a straight face, they do it and they're sincere about it, mm-hmm, then we're under a spell. Someone's, yes, being bewitched.
Yes. There is some sort of demonic presence
there
here
is
now.
A spell over people right now. Nathan, are you saying I'm under a spell if I voted for Trump? I don't know if you are, my friend. If you justify it and you clap your hands when he lies to you, maybe you are. You can get hate mail for that, Donna? This is where we are.
We get hate mail anyway.
So if I'm right in my concerns that Trump's a little horn, that means we're late in the hour. Or if he's just a crazy man. Now, it has been reported. It's come from people who are part of the administration. They talk to the media because they're scared. There are people in the administration, staff members, people who are advisors, who are whispering to the news, and they're all doing it. They say they're scared. They say the way that Trump is acting is not normal. They say the guy that moved into the White House 2 years ago is not the same guy now. He is not the same man. He's behaving erratically. He's behaving with schizophrenia. He's behaving with paranoia. He's very crafty. He is very possessive. He's very isolated. He doesn't want anyone to advise him and tell him what the truth is of things. He has this small circle of people. By the way, Daniel says that. A small circle of people that he gets his wisdom from, that's a bunch of lies. Mm-hmm. And then he tweets it, and the people read it, and they say, oh, great, I guess I'll believe that narrative. So either he's possessed by a principality, or he has syphilis, Donna. I don't know which one it is. Or is it senile or dementia?
I think it's a principality. That's my opinion. It's a principality because God showed you the principality. It's orange, pterodactylish looking with a face like Trump. And he loves fierceness, and he loves, it's got to be a principality that he has embraced.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I need to be clear. If you're mad at me right now, if I fell off the earth tomorrow, if I died, everything I said about Trump's still going on.
And everything in the Word of God that we opened up to you is still true.
It's true. So whether you hate me or not, I'm still telling you the truth. We proved it with their own words. Mm-hmm. We proved it with the Bible. We proved the behavior of the church, the evangelicals, with this thing is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just wrong. And if you're a Christian, you have no business saying, I don't feel sorry for him. None. If you don't feel sorry for him, then you're going to be in trouble when the judgment really gets going. But Donna, here's the deal. God is not going to be mocked. This is the scariest part of this thing. No. God is up in heaven saying, okay, and he's watching. Where are they going to stand? Oh, okay, I know now where they stand. What about that mother? Okay, I see it. What about that guy, that father, that single man, that college student? Oh, I see where they stand on this. Mm-hmm. And God's making note of it. And then the Bible says this, God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, they're going to reap.
Yes.
So Amen. The mercy that we either show or don't show, we will be reaped in our life personally. And it might not happen in the same categorical way.
It could be a health issue. It could be anything. We don't know.
Okay, stripping a child from their mother's arms. What would be the reaping ramifications of that on a person?
Your own child or your grandchild being taken from you.
Losing your own child. Now, folks, if you think about that and it strikes you with pause, and it actually makes you think, whoa, this is a serious thing. That's called the fear of God. The fear of God will let you see the law of God and then realize that there's going to be a result from God. There's going to be actions from God. And we can't play with that. We don't mess with that one, Donna. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So how wise are people going to be? My friend, how wise are you when it comes to this? If you're mad at me, put me aside, but just take the information. How wise are you going to be with this? Don't jeopardize your future. Don't jeopardize the protection over your household. Don't jeopardize the covering of God over you. What do you mean, Nathan? Just because I have an opinion about them, how's that going to take away God's protection? James says, the mercy you show is the mercy you get. Mm-hmm. Donna?
Yeah, that's what you will be judged with or without.
So I'm going to conclude with that. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this was a hard-hitting show. I know it was. I admit it. But I needed to share these things. I needed to share those things, and I was doing it from the heart of righteous indignation. That is my passion, folks. My passion is representing the truth without trying to sanitize it and spin it and make it something it's not. We don't get to do that. My passion and Donna's passion is to bring you the truth so that you will know the truth, so that you will be able to righteously divide what you're supposed to do and the truth and the word. That's where we come from. Now, folks, if you can bear witness with what you have heard, I ask you to please share this program. Share it with everyone that you know. We need to get this word out. We need to say no more. We need to say, you know what? Even though they think that way, let me show you another way to think. We need to be looking at, is there a biblical word? Is there a biblical standard that I can decide where I stand on this? Because some folks don't know, Donna. So we just presented them the biblical truth. So now they have some decisions to do.
Are you going to put on the mind of Christ? Or are you going to keep on the mind of Trump?
Amen. Well, thank you, folks, for listening to this program again. If you appreciate what we're doing, we need your support. But even with a smaller group, with a handful instead of a roomful, because the roomful left, Donna, they don't like what we're saying. But with a handful of God-appointed supporters out there, we can do this. So, my friend, I want to challenge you to be a part of that handful of supporters for Watchman's Cry. I want to challenge you and ask you to be a part of our family, our Watchman's Cry family, so we can continue doing this and let the truth be known. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com, and there's a link there. so that you can donate and contact us there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the time. Share this message. Stay vigilant, stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.